Hey, how's everybody doing this evening?
Great!
Awesome, awesome, awesome. My name is Pastor Gary Moritz. Normally I'm with the crazy people called teenagers. What I want to bring with you tonight is an awesome message called The Battle for the Mind. How many of you battle with your mind? But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a battle for our mind. There's a battle for our mind. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Everybody go like this. Inside this noggin is a what?
Brain.
A brain. Okay, this brain weighs about 3 pounds. 3 pounds, and it's made up of 12 billion cells. 12 billion cells that all interact, that make your body function, that make your heart beat. It also gives you the ability to think, to feel, to touch, to imagine, to dream, and to analyze. How many of you like to dream? Men always dream, right? Daydreaming. That's, yeah. So I was saying before that our brain is actually 3 pounds, but if it's a man, it's usually about one. So here's the deal. Is God, I want you to think about this question. Is God in control of your thoughts? Is God in control of your thoughts? I went to Webster's Dictionary and I looked up the word mind, and I came up with a definition such as the facility in an individual that feels, perceives, thinks, wills, and especially reasons. This brain right here is responsible for your actions and what you do. I found it interesting. Early this morning, I get up, and one of my favorite papers to get in the mail, I literally look forward to it, is the Liberty Journal. How many of you get the Liberty Journal? From Liberty University, Dr. Falwell. Great, great journal. It's free. You can go online and subscribe to it. I started to think about the battle of the mind, and I came across these three articles. It says, oops, my Christianity is no longer valid. This is a show on NBC's ER. A show, and on the show there's a actress, Bussy Phillips, or whoever that is. Anyway, she plays this role of this Christian. And this Christian on this next episode is going to portray a Christian young lady who suddenly determines that the Bible's plan for sexuality is wrong. Now, thousands of people are going to see this. Thousands of people, it's going to go into their mind. And many people who watch TV think that it's truth. So then, therefore, they're going to start to think what the TV tells them to. CBS, profane version of Joy to the World. They made sexual gestures with the song on the show. Dramatic increase of violence found on TV. Among its findings, the report found that since 1998, violence increased in every time slot during prime time. And during the 8 p.m. so-called family hour, violence increased 45%. During the 9 o'clock p.m. hour, violence increased 92%. While during the 10 o'clock p.m. hour, there was an increase of 167%. 11 o'clock, you shouldn't be watching it because you're probably going to go out and kill somebody, according to those statistics. But tonight, I want us to focus on the real issue. The real issue here is not TV. The real issue is who's battling for your mind. Who's the battle with? Are your thoughts on God, or are they on the things of the world? And tonight we're gonna dive in here. So turn to Isaiah chapter 26, and I'll start in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation. Well, God will appoint of walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want to tell you that there are three distinct things that your mind is going to battle with tonight. When you walk out of this auditorium, you are going to have these three distinct things that you're going to battle with. The first one is that Satan wants to control your mind. Satan wants to control your mind. If you haven't realized already, when you're sitting there all alone and there's nobody around, all of a sudden you start to get maybe some negative thoughts. That's Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Satan wants to blind unbelievers. He blinds unbelievers. John 8:44 says that if you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Satan is your father. And he's the father of lies. And what he does to unbelievers is that he blinds them. I was doing a recent study in science, and I found it interesting that if a human being was to sit in total darkness for a period of 2 to 3 weeks, they would actually lose their eyesight. In total blackness. If they were just to sit in a dark room and never see light, and they were just to sit there, they would actually start to lose their eyesight. Because light needs to go inside the eye so that it can function. So you can actually make yourself go blind if you stay in the dark. An interesting thing is Satan does not want them to come to the light because he wants them to be in the darkness. He wants them to stay in the darkness. And when every single human being is born, they're born in sin. They're born in darkness. And what Satan wants to do is he wants to keep those people there. He doesn't want them to hear the gospel. When we go out and we share our faith, hopefully we're doing that, and we tell people about Jesus Christ, and we confront them with the law of God, their eyes, remember, they're blind. They can't see. So they're going to think it's foolishness. So Satan wants to control your mind. How does he control your mind? He controls your mind with lies. He's the father of lies. He controls your mind with lies. He controls your mind with threats. He controls your mind with threats. Intimidation. Oh, you're not good enough. God can never use you. That's what he does. He brings doubt. He brings lust. He brings fear. He brings questions. Can God really use me? I mean, all those things I've done. I mean, can God really use me? He can't use you. You're useless. Satan wants the blind. Several chapters later, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, we read that Satan wants to corrupt the minds of believers. He wants to corrupt the minds of believers. So unbelievers, he wants to blind them because they're blind. Believers, he wants to corrupt. I find it interesting that the internet is such a major tool, and everybody from the unbeliever to the believer uses the internet. I use the internet literally every day of my life, between going to college, between studying, between looking up things, and I'm constantly on the internet. Check this out. Here are some internet pornography statistics. And the reason why I'm pointing out pornography is because it's the largest internet trafficking thing in the whole world. Pornography industry review statistics. The size of the industry, the pornography industry, is $57 billion worldwide. Billion dollars. Phone sex, $4.5 billion. Cable, $2.5 billion. It says the U.S. porn revenue exceeds the combination revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. If you combine those three companies together, you only get $6.2 billion. Child pornography generates $3 billion annually. Pornographic pages, 372 million pages on the internet. 372 million. Sexual solicitations of youth made in the chat room, 89%. The average first internet exposure to pornography, 11 years old. U.S. adults who regularly visit internet pornography sites, 40 million. 40 million people visit pornography websites. Breakdown of male and female. 72% of males look at pornography on the internet, 28% females look at pornography on the internet. 70% of women keep their cyber activities secret. Now, I didn't really understand what that was until a few months ago. I actually found out, you know, a teenager had come to me and said, "Hey, you know, Pastor Gary, what do I do? My mom's having an affair on the internet." We found it. We kind of went in the cookies and we kind of found the files, and I don't know what to do. This has been going on for years, it seems like. 70% of women keep their cyber activity secret. 9.4 million women access adult websites each month. It's not just men that have the problem. It's women also. So Satan, what he wants to do to believers is that he wants to take the believer and he wants to corrupt them. He wants to corrupt them. He doesn't want you to live for Christ. He doesn't want you to do anything for God. He wants to corrupt your mind. Understand that. John 10:10. Satan seeks to kill and destroy. That's his job. He wants to kill you. He wants you to look at that stuff. He wants you to think and put the doubt in your mind that you can't do anything for God. So it all starts in your mind. I mean, once you sit there and you see an image and it flashes before you, you'll never forget it. All of a sudden, they'll come back and he'll have a hook in your mouth, and all of a sudden, he'll try to reel you back in. And there's a church member that actually, he's a senior, and his name's Claude Kellett, and he said the most profound thing. You know, what color do you think Satan is? Red Dragon. We hear most of the time when we think of Satan, we think of this red dude with horns, right? Claude Kellett said this. I thought it was profound. He said, Satan is gray. Gray. You see, because for the Christian, you're not going to know when he's there. He's going to slowly sneak up. Everything's going to look okay. And then slowly he's going to start calling you away, little by little. I mean, if he was red and there was a guy going in front of you, you'd be like, hey, that's Satan. I shouldn't go there. But obviously, the Bible calls us sheep. And sheep are dumb. We're dumb. And Satan, what he does is he appears gray and he starts to pull people away slowly. And people begin to listen to him. So here's the deal. For believers, Satan wants to corrupt you and take you to a place where you don't know. Okay, he wants to take you in a direction. He wants to corrupt your mind. He wants to pull you away. The second thing, the flesh seeks to control your mind. The flesh seeks to control your mind. When you allow sinful flesh to control your mind, guess what happens? You become just like the world. When your flesh, this stuff is nasty. This stuff will pull you away from God. It's interesting because people think if they isolate themselves and they don't hang out with other people or whatever, that they'll think that they won't mess up, they won't sin. That's the problem. See, that's what the Catholic Church thought. You ever hear the word hermit? Well, a guy decided that, hey, well, I'm going to be holy, so I'm going to go live on top of a mountain. So he became a hermit. Well, a bunch of other people said, hey, that's a good idea. We'll become hermits, too. So you had hermits running around. They're all up on the hill. And then they're all up there by themselves. And they said, hey, you know what? Since we're all up here, why don't we just live together? We'll call it a monastery. We'll all get together and we'll be hermits together. Well, then slowly there's all these monasteries. And then later on it said, well, somebody has to be above all the monasteries. Why don't we just get a pope? And all of a sudden, the Pope came into reign. So it's interesting that my professor at Liberty said this. He said, as long as you have this, this is a doorway for Satan, the flesh. How is the flesh a doorway for Satan? We just read Internet, porn, people worried about their bodies, what they look like. You know, men. I mean, you just look at what men have to. I mean, if you don't have a six pack, right, ladies are like, he's fat. Right. If you don't have a six pack or you're not like buff or whatever, you just like. So men have to appear that. And then women have to look like they're, you know, look like they're a skeleton. Look at Cosmopolitan magazine. What does it look like? You have to look like this. I mean, if you go back way when and you look at like Renaissance artwork, I mean, those women were not skinny. I mean, they were very large. I mean, so large they couldn't even fit them on the page, and so they didn't care about that stuff. But it seems nowadays that we're constantly so worried about our image. We're so worried about our image. And the flesh, it becomes so sinful because we start to think like the world. And we're like, hey, we have to be like the world because, you know, that's what the world tells us we have to be in order to be cool. Let's look at this verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not the subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we go back up to verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. You know what the word enmity means? Hostile. The flesh is hostile towards God. It's an enemy. So when we start to think in the flesh, well, now all of a sudden we thought we had this great, perfect relationship with our Savior. And now all of a sudden we're thinking in the flesh. Well, now all of a sudden we're getting hostile towards God because we're thinking like the world. We're thinking in the flesh. And that's wrong. We shouldn't think that way. And then we have, you know, other individuals that, you know, they're not walking with God through the week. They're not doing a quiet time. They're not reading their Bible. And then all of a sudden they come in on Sunday and they expect to all of a sudden understand the things of God. They've been living like the world the whole week. And then they come in on Sunday and they decide that all of a sudden, I don't get this Bible stuff. Well, no kidding, because you haven't been in it all week. Duh. And it's amazing to me that believers who think like the world all week think that they can walk in and all of a sudden think spiritually. It doesn't happen. It takes every single day in the Word of God to become more like Jesus Christ. If you miss one day, you'll know. If you miss 2 days, somebody else will know. If you miss 3 days, everybody will know. James 1:8. Can we go there? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When a person's not in the Word of God each day, they walk in church like this. Literally, spiritually, that's what they look like. Unstable. Hey, brother, how you doing? All right. Ready to come walking in? Unstable. But a person who's in the Word of God, they're stable. Their feet are planted. They're ready. They know what Satan, you know, what he's going to be bringing to them. They're ready. They're prayed up. They're ready in the Word of God. They're ready to go. But when we're not, we're double-minded, God calls us a hypocrite. We're double-minded. We're unstable. He says, purify your hands, ye sinners, your heart, you double-minded. And living in such a way of hypocrisy, all that is to God is shallow and it's empty. The third thing. God can control your mind. God can control your mind. Instead of living a life that your mind is blinded, your mind is corrupted, your mind is doubled, you can have a mind that is peaceful. Go back to Isaiah 26. Look at this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is stayed on thee, because he what? Trust in thee. See, when you trust in God, your mind's going to be stable. You're going to have a peace. When things come your way and it seems that the whole world's falling apart, you're going to be able to stand, because you're going to realize who's in control. But when you don't have Christ every day and you think you're a Christian, you think, you know, hey, I kind of just read my Bible. Hey, I kind of just said a prayer one time a few years ago. And hey, I'm just going to kind of go through the motions and eventually it's all going to pan out in the end. And no, that's not how it works. Every day, consistent. Every day. It's getting to the point now. And I thought it was cool that the other day, because, you know, sometimes you do in your quiet time, you don't think anybody's noticed. I mean, in my family, it's me and my wife and my daughter, right? So my daughter comes out and she goes, you know, it was like early in the morning. So she comes out, you know, she has a snot and all that stuff going on, you know. She's like, Dad, are you doing your quiet time? I'm like, Satan? No. I was like, yeah, but I thought it was cool that she realized that. She's only two. Daddy, you're doing your quiet time? I was like, wow, I didn't realize you even could say quiet time. That was pretty cool. You know, and it just takes that plotting. It just takes getting up every morning and saying, God, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to get up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get up. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray for my daughter's cousins, my unsaved family members, and plot and read the Word every day. It's a struggle. Okay, I struggled it when I was first saved. I mean, I'm telling you, to get in people said a quiet time. I didn't know what that was. I thought you like got alone and something, and like, you know, lit incense or something. I didn't know what that was. You know, but then as I was being discipled, people would teach me, okay, you have to get alone with God and you have to read a verse and then, you know, ask questions and find the sin in your life and all that. And I said, oh, okay, I can do that. And slowly I began to plot, and it takes time. So your mind will become peaceful when your thoughts are centered upon Jesus Christ. In addition to that, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that casting down imaginations, every high thing. Okay, here's what I was getting at. To bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought that goes through your head, every thought. Like when you're driving and you're like, shout to the Lord. You're like, moron! Like as you're driving or whatever and cutting people off and getting road rage. And I love you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Right? Every imagination, when that guy cuts you off, you go and you just keep focusing on the Lord. But if you start losing your testimony on the road and you got a Jesus loves you in the back sticker, okay, that's some problems there. So the deal is that every thought that goes in our head, we're to bring captive. In addition to that, we ought to be praying that the Holy Spirit would renew us. How do we get renewed? Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, that it may prove what is good and acceptable to the perfect will of God. Turn to Philippians 4:8. I love this verse. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good rapport, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Think on these things. Whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good rapport, virtue, praise, think on these things. See, our mind is very important to God. He gave it to us. It's our whole function of our whole being. Everything that we think, you know, therefore we become. So if we hang out with, you know, people who like to smoke marijuana, well, eventually, one, we're not going to have a mind to think of anymore. But eventually we'll start to become like them. If we hang out with people who are searching the Word of God every day and who are scholars, well, we're going to become like them. Because we're renewing our mind. It's important to get a good group of friends, to get around a good group of people. And if you do these things, what's amazing is that you'll win the battle. I always say this. You do Satan a favor when you waver. If you're not in the Word of God, well, you just did Satan a favor. If you're in the Word of God, Satan's ticked. He's going to try to distract you. You ever notice when things are going really well and you're tracking and you're walking, you're hanging out with good Christian friends and you're listening to good Christian music and everything's just Christian. You have the Christian plumber at the house because the Christian bathroom broke down and everything's just going great, right? And then all of a sudden something hits and now things aren't going so great. And you know, the whole time you're focused on God, everything's going good. And then all of a sudden you start to waver a little bit and you start to realize things are falling apart all around you. Well, that's because Satan's attacking you because you're wavering. You stand strong. You're going to be unshakable, and Satan's going to come after you even harder. But you have to be ready to stand in the Holy Spirit for him. So here are six habits to help you in the battle. Six habits that are going to help you with your thought life. The first one is be careful what you watch. Be careful what you watch. David said this, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It shall not cleave to me. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. I thought it was interesting that Jesus made an analogy about the eye being a lamp to the soul. A lamp to the soul. No wicked thing before your eyes. The next thing is memorize the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. So filling your mind with God's word is a great way to renew your mind. A great way to renew your mind. Next is be careful with whom you hang out with. Be careful with whom you hang out with. It says, be not deceived. Okay, is that the, be not deceived, evil. Yeah, I can't see it. Okay, so evil, you hang out with evil people, well, it's going to corrupt your good manners. You're going to have a problem there. You hang out with evil friends, well, you'll become evil. If you hang out with good friends, well, you'll wind up being, a godly individual. So your friends you spend time with have the greatest influence over you. Number four, don't listen to filthy conversations. Filthy conversations. 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8. And deliver just Lot vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So here, this is important. How many of you in your workplace, when you're there, or in your school, or in your college, or wherever you're at, you hear filthy conversation? Put your hand up. I want to put my hand up because then it'll look like this filthy conversation in the church. So yeah, that won't be good. So don't listen to filthy conversation. Literally, when I hear that stuff, okay, I grew up literally hearing like F-bombs my whole life growing up. And when I hear words like that, it literally, it's like somebody stabbing me in the chest. It like annoys me. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to scream, you know, I just can't stand it. When I hear people cussing or gossiping or whatever it is, it drives me nuts. Literally drives me nuts. That is considered filthy communication. When we talk, we ought to exhort people. We ought to encourage them in the Lord. The next thing is be faithful in your quiet time. Psalm 5:3. For that righteous man dwelleth among them. Oh, that's it. I can't. Okay. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. Your quiet time, prayer time, getting alone, getting that spot where you're not going to be bothered, getting in the Word of God and praying. You know, praying is the hardest thing to do. Jesus spoke so much about it because he knew that man would have the biggest difficulty. It doesn't take much to walk through the doors in the church or sit in the pew. I mean, it doesn't take much to carry around your Bible and maybe not even read it. Just kind of, hey, brother, good morning. It takes a lot to pray. Because when you drop to your knees, you humble yourself before God and you cry out to God to help you. You point your face up and you say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. And God will direct your path. You pray that God will make a change in your life. You start relying on your own self. Well, guess what? You're going to start to waver. You rely on Jesus Christ. You're not going to waver. God's going to pave the path for you. I just think about the great things God's doing in this church. We'd have never dreamed okay, ever dreamed about, first of all, even being in the Washington Post. I could have never imagined that the church would ever be mentioned in. God is paving the way. I remember Tuesday, we were like, what are we going to do? We said, we got to pray. Let's ask the Lord to guide our steps, because he's obviously the one who flourished this whole thing. This wasn't something we were going after. God is making known. He's given us a platform for the gospel to preach, to tell people about Jesus Christ. Last point, time in God's word is a practical way to renew your mind. And again, the passage there you can put there is Romans 12:1. So tonight, the battle, who is controlling your mind? Who is controlling your mind? You know, if God is not controlling your mind, then maybe tonight you need to come up here and just get things right. Say this, God, I want you to control my mind.